This month, the nation is celebrating the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. William Colville was a Civil War hero, the colonel who led the historic 1st Minnesota Regiment at Gettysburg in the Cemetery Ridge Charge 150 years ago. The charge created enough time for the Union forces to regroup and push off the rebels. Colville was shot twice, his ankle was shattered, and it would leave him severely hobbled for the rest of his life. Colville later served as a state legislator and attorney general. He lived out some of the last of his 75 years in Duluth and up the North Shore near Grand Marais, in the town named after him. I spoke with former Cook County Historical Society Director Pat Sankman about Colonel Colville and his connection with the area.
I don't know how he found out about Cook County, but it probably was when he was, involved in the lands when he was working in Duluth. He must have gotten involved with Cook County at that point. And he came here the first time. Well, actually what he did is he filed for a homestead in, I think it was 1893. That homestead was 167 acres east of town in the area that we now call Colville. Actually, it was towards the western section of what would be called Colville. There were a number of Civil War veterans who came at the same time. And I always thought, and I'm probably incorrect about this, but I always had thought that part of their service, they were granted homesteads. And I'm saying that because along that whole line, in that whole area, was Andrew Jackson Scott, George Durfee, Durfee Creek, and there was a John Ashford. And that's east of there, and there was a place called Ashford's Point. So I think that was another one. But both Durfee and Colville apparently kept in pretty close touch with each other. There were these conventions that they would go to in St. Paul, and they were reunions of sort for the regiment, this sort of thing, and that continued through their life. Durfee Creek is in Colville, and of course that's named after him. And they had different roles in the Civil War, and Colville probably was a hero that didn't plan on being a hero.
That's what I understand. He thought he was going to be in one battle and come home.
That's right. And Well, it turned out, of course, it was probably the most decisive battle in the Civil War and saved the Union. Durfee, apparently his job in the Civil War on the Union side was to diagram the battles and the placements. Obviously, there was photography that started in the Civil War, but that was kind of an afterthought. I mean, what they planned on George Durfee doing, apparently, was to draw the battlefields, potential whatever. So he did that, and he came back here, and he did a lot of drawing. The letterheads, the early letterheads on the county, you know, official stationery, and in Grand Marais, were drawings from him. Drawings of the harbor, this sort of thing. He did a lot of drawings. That was his job in the Civil War. Well, and then, of course, Colville overshadows him on the scene because of the battle at Cemetery Ridge at Gettysburg.
Which was about as close to a suicide mission as you could have. So many people killed.
And one might say, did he know what he was doing? Because really what they did is they ran across the open field at the Confederates. But when you understand why they did it, I mean, Colville turned out to be in charge because the person who was in charge was either killed or wounded. So Colville was called upon this by Hancock and told to hold them off for 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. I need that. So, I mean, he certainly did something that attracted their attention, didn't he? And of the 262 Minnesotans, 215 were either killed or wounded, including Colville. He had problems from that battle the rest of his life.
Yes, I understand he was pretty seriously wounded and carried Confederate lead in him for quite some time until he died. Now, here in Cook County, what do we know much about his activities? I know he was as a large presence historically in Red Wing, but is there much record of what he did when he was here?
Well, you know, we knew that we had a number of items from him. He built a house east of town that eventually became the Hussies. The Hussies, of course, were in Redwing with him, and they were caretakers, and they came up here with him. Both Colville and his wife came up here originally, but then his wife died very shortly after, and at that point he seemed to vacillate between Redwing and here the rest of his life, and until 1905. He sold the property or bequested it. I'm not too sure if there was money exchanged or whatever in about 1904, maybe a bit earlier. But we have some oral histories that talk about Colville. Cack Hussey was one of them. Can I tell you the lovely story?
Sure, go right ahead.
Well, Colville was a lawyer too, you know, and he was in Red Wing, and the sheriff had brought somebody in for rustling cattle. And the sheriff went into Colville's office and said, would you give him some advice? Just give him some advice. He doesn't have an attorney. Give him some advice and we'll pay for it. So the man came in, and apparently he didn't have any money to pay for anything. And Colville said, well, I'm supposed to give you some advice. Look out the window. What's that? Well, it's the Mississippi River. What's on the other side of the Mississippi River? That's Wisconsin. And in Wisconsin, they can't accuse you of this. So, and he opened the door. He said, now go. I've given you my advice. And the man, of course, did exactly that. And so the sheriff came and says, where's my prisoner? And he says, well, you wanted me to give him advice, and that's all I did.
Oh, boy.
That came from Cack Hussey. But Cack was a child. He must, so I don't know that he heard this, but you never know. Cack heard a lot of stuff, but he must have heard from his parents. And another one was Wayne Anderson. His father was on the, it wouldn't be an American, it would be the Dixon. I guess it was his father. And as a young child, he was traveling alone and sat at the same table with Colville and was so impressed that he just remembered the guy was 6'5". I mean, in that day and age, that was quite something. But it was also his presence. Apparently, he was a delightful person.
Now, before he moved here, he was in the land office in Duluth, as
yes.
I recall, and was involved in a lot of the land deals, let's put it that way, in the Ely area and over onto the Iron Range, because at that time they had pretty much discovered iron.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently, all of the dealings didn't match his set of ethics.
I don't know that, but certainly he would have been in position for an awful lot of benefit had he chosen to do that. Of course, he would have as a lawyer too, wouldn't he?
I suppose so.
Well, at any rate, recently the first Minnesota Film Company has shown up at the museum looking for other items and information about Colonel Colville. And we have come up with some wonderful things we didn't know we had. And I think probably thanks to Bill Raff that they were put aside. We have a chair and a desk, and we have other small items from Colville and a lot of photographs. But what we found we also had was in Colonel Colville's handwriting, we have his story of the Gettysburg attack on Cemetery Ridge.
Really? In his own hand?
In his own handwriting. And it's available to see online at cookcountyhistory.org. I mean, it says it's not really legible. It kind of is. I mean, if you're really careful with it, you can read it. And also we have a tin type that we didn't know we had, which is an old photograph, obviously, prior to photographs, really, and of him as a young man. And so we have that. And also his muster out roll. So when he was mustered out of the Civil War, we have that. Yeah. We've got a wonderful festivity coming up because it is the 150th anniversary.
Right.
August 24th at 10 o'clock in the morning. Wayne Jorgensen has been in and out of the museum when I was director, he was coming. So that's been about 4 years ago now. So he's been in and out, checking things back and forth. And he's just written a book called Every Man Did His Duty. And it's put out by the Minnesota Historical Society. He is coming along with a man by the name of John Cock. And they are going to put on a program for the Historical Society at the JHP. And also there's going to be a Bill Dalen acting as a reenactor for this period. So this is going to be something very special in view of his new book. But I will add this. If anybody is really interested in knowing more about Colonel Colville and Cook County, on the same website, we have the overlooks. And there were two articles done. I know one was done by Jeremy Lopez, and that is the fall of 2010. And that's on Colonel Colville and contains mostly some background also of the battle, et cetera, but also Colville here in town. And then there's a more recent one, and that is the summer of 2013, which is right now, the one that's just out. Again, it's on the township named after Colonel Colville. And by the way, Colville did not want to be called Colville.
Really? Why not?
Well, I don't think they thought of it. I mean, they were there. He died. I mean, by the time we're talking, Colville really being, I mean, he'd been gone about 5 years. Colville started being developed kind of about 1910. And so he died in 1905. So they wanted the name Concord. I mean, they were peace and quiet. It was out of the mm-hmm. hustle bustle. So they named it Concord. But then the state objected because apparently there is another Concord. So they named it, as they have so often done to Cook County, named it themselves. And this one, they named it Colville for Colonel Colville. At least he'd been here. Yeah, Representative Cook had never even been here.
Very ill, Colville traveled from his home in Red Wing to St. Paul in 1905 for a Flag Day ceremony. Veterans were going to march from the old Capitol building to the current one, but Colville died in his sleep at his hotel 2 days before the ceremony. He was the first person to lie in state at the new Capitol. A statue was erected in the Rotunda in 1909 and a replica placed at his gravesite in Cannon Falls in 1928. President Calvin Coolidge left his summer home on the Brule River outside Superior, Wisconsin, to attend the dedication of that memorial. More than 100,000 people descended on tiny Cannon Falls on a muggy July day. President Coolidge said, quote, "So far as human judgment can determine, Colonel Colville and those 8 companies of the 1st Minnesota are entitled to rank as the saviors of their country," unquote.